this past week when she voted alongside with the Republican to keep the salt tax in place, which means people like myself and you, we can only still claim only $10,000 from our property taxes. I'm still losing $14,000 a year. So AOC, you're going to have to talk to me about that. Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, is in no hurry to send over impeachment to the Senate. She is having Donald Trump sweat into the new year. This is Groovin' Radio, and my name is Rastlem. Now we have come to the end of our entertainment report. It is now time for our featured segment, Mic Check. And I have a guest co-host since you're off in Jamaica, Anthony Turner. Dr. Evan Kovac has joined us live in the studio. He is a cancer specialist, and we also have a hypertension expert. High blood pressure we are speaking about, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Melissa Burnside, you do the honors in introducing both our guests, Anthony. Go ahead.
Well, our first guest, Dr. Melissa Burnside, is a family physician at Montecuro Medical Center. And Dr. Burnside was born in Spanish Town, Jamaica, and raised in the Bronx. And she graduated from the Bronx public school system before attending Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, where she completed her bachelor's degree in public health and master's degree in environmental health. And Dr. Burnside worked at the Bronx Center to reduce and eliminate ethics and racial health disparities before returning to school for an MD at Ohio State University College of Medicine. A Bronx native with Jamaican roots, Dr. Melissa Burnside is passionate about providing equitable and quality care in the Bronx and its surrounding communities. You talk about Dr. Evan Kovac. Well, he's an MD, assistant professor of urology, and a specialist in the evaluation, diagnostic, and treatment of cancers of the urinary tract. He joined the facility of Montefiore and the Albert Einstein College of Medicine. This was back in September 2016. And prior to joining Montefiore, Dr. Kovac served as a fellow in urologic oncology at the Cleveland Clinic. He has extensive experience in population health as it applies to urologic malignancies. He has surgical expertise in open endocarditis and robotic techniques. And Dr. Kovac is involved in several international collaborations. He and his colleagues are studying prostate cancer through collaborations with University College Hospital in Nigeria and the University of the West Indies in Kingston, Jamaica. So we welcome both our guests the Mic Check this morning.
We welcome my co-host, Dr. Evan Kovac, and we welcome our hypertension specialist, Melissa Burnside, a born Jamaican. She was born and raised in the same place where coffee is from, our first capital, Spanish Town, Jamaica. We welcome you both. How you doing?
Good morning. Good to be back.
Happy holidays to both of you.
Good morning. Happy to be back here. So good to see you again.
Happy to have you here, Dr. Kovac. Welcome, Ms. Burnside. How are you?
Good morning.
Why are you so shy?
I'm not shy.
Yeah, you're shy.
Well, by the way, morning from warm Jamaica.
You see, he's bragging on us. He's in Jamaica. Well, as I welcome you both to Groovin' Radio this morning, Dr. Kovac, you being the expert, you being the specialist in prostate cancer, and I remember when we had our prostate presentation, I was informed by our colleague, Darcy, how well everything went with that one-day screening, how it was received by the community, and that is why we are here this morning with this next topic, which is very germane to the Caribbean community and the Hispanic community. For some reason, hypertension, which we know as high blood pressure, doctor, it is affecting us in some very alarming numbers. The numbers have changed for your blood pressure reading. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go through all of that. But as I welcome you, Dr. Kovac, you look at what we have gone through as you know, they say Caribbean nationals, African Americans, some of these diseases affect us more than others. And you know, we talk about the financial aspect of it. We talk about our lifestyle. I mean, hypertension, where are we heading with this?
Well, again, thanks for having me. And I do want to say that we had tremendous turnout at our events, our PSA, our prostate-specific antigen screening events. Mm-hmm. Huge success. We hope to continue this collaboration. And it's true, you know, certain populations are at risk for different diseases. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to paint the picture that Caribbean nationals or other black communities are at risk for every terrible thing, because that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Every community has their burden.
Right.
But certain things are burdensome to the Caribbean community, to the West African community, to African Americans. Mm-hmm. Prostate cancer is one of them. That's my expertise. Mm-hmm. Dr. Burnside is the expert in hypertension. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you'd be surprised how these things actually tie together. When we see a patient mm-hmm. with a specific disease, we don't just want to treat that one disease. We want to treat the whole patient. And mm-hmm. if somebody comes to me and they may have prostate cancer, we don't ignore everything else that's going on with them. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that they're looked after. So sometimes we will refer to doctors like Dr. Burnside. If somebody needs treatment for prostate cancer, we want to make sure that before you go for treatment, before you go for surgery, mm-hmm. your blood pressure, your diabetes, mm-hmm. everything is controlled mm-hmm. so that you're going to have the best outcome possible. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to defer to Dr. Burnside because she's really the expert in that field.
Yeah. Before Thanks. We get to you, Dr. Burnside, Anthony's on the road in Jamaica. He's almost at the airport. He's traveling. And I know his father had a unique blood pressure situation. Before you go, Anthony, I want you to share that story with our listening audience. Anthony? I think we have lost
Anthony. On the plane?
Yes. He's probably in the airport. So let's move on from Anthony Turner and we go back to Dr. Burnside here. As we welcome you, Dr. Burnside, you being the expert in high blood pressure. What is the correct reading for yes. our blood pressure today?
Yes. So I want to start by just letting the audience know what is high blood pressure. And I think one of the things I noticed you did, Ross, is you interchange the terms hypertension and high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know those are similar terms. Mm-hmm. And when looking at high blood pressure, which is how I'll refer to it throughout the rest of this time, mm-hmm. this is looking at the measurement of the blood pumping through your heart and that stress that's occurring. Now, in order for you to know if you have high blood pressure, this is something that you need to go to your primary care doctor, your family doctor, like myself, mm-hmm. to determine. Because the numbers that happen during the reading is how we diagnose this high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And so by definition, if your blood pressure is above 130 over 80, we call that stage 1 hypertension. So mm-hmm. there's stages to this mm-hmm. Disease. Mm-hmm. If it goes 140 over 90, you're now looking at stage 2 hypertension. And this is important because when you are going to your doctors to determine the treatment that we're going to do for you, we try to figure out what medications you can do, what lifestyles, what comorbidities. Do you have prostate cancer? Do you have diabetes? Mm-hmm. And from there, we make a plan. But those are all things that are important when we're talking about high blood pressure in the community.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are quite a few people that I have known personally who have gotten a stroke over the last year. Mm-hmm. Luckily, most have survived. What are the signs that we get? They say, and I know, but I'm still going to ask mm-hmm. you, they say it's a silent killer. But is there any signs that you have high blood pressure?
That's a great question, Ross. And I have to tell you that most of the time, there are no signs and symptoms of high blood pressure. And that is why it's known as the silent killer. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when my patients present, like, with a stroke or with what happened with your friend, these are consequences of long-standing high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. So often there are no signs and symptoms. If a patient had a stroke or comes in and had chest pain or trouble breathing, by then it is probably too late, and those are the manifestations of the blood pressure that had worsened.
Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm a person, because I was diagnosed with high blood pressure recently, mm-hmm. 140 over 82, 140, mm-hmm. 140 over 85 mm-hmm. on different arms. Right. And, you know, a lot of us, for me, mm-hmm. A lot of us men don't like to go to doctors and we shy away from that. But when we go and we are diagnosed, what should be the next stage? What should be the next step that mm-hmm. we take?
Right. So that's an excellent question. And I think when patients come into my office, mm-hmm. I do a lot of shared decision making, because the management of treatment of blood pressure is going to go so far as much you and I will do. So if you come in, for example, you come in and your blood pressure is 140 over 82, as you said, mm-hmm. I'm going to present to you your options. Mm-hmm. Your options could include lifestyle changes. You may say to me, look, doctor, I love my curry goat. I love my oxtail, and we have to figure out, maybe should it be cutting down on certain foods? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's, you know, I've been trying to go to the gym. I haven't been able to, but I wanted to do that Zumba class. I wanted to do that Insanity P90X. Mm-hmm. And if that means that that's an option for you, then we will try to make that option. Mm-hmm. But I realize that for some patients, that may not be feasible, right? And mm-hmm. they may not have access to a gym. It may not be easy for them to exercise. And so we come up with a plan. Mm-hmm. And so then maybe we talk about medications. And sometimes, you know, the reality is our patients don't like taking medications. It's hard to take medications. Mm-hmm. But we have that discussion. And then at the end of the visit, we determine a plan that will work for you. Because when you come to the doctor's office, what I notice is that, one, you care about your health. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you coming to be there. And so then I work with you to get in a better place.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Grooving Radio. We are in our featured segment, Mic Check. Our conversation this morning is high blood pressure. As we approach the holiday season, we're approaching it with caution, ladies and gentlemen. Be careful and be mindful of your consumption of salt and stuff like that, and how you go about preparing your food for this holiday season. I know Dr. Evan Kovac, I know you and I had this conversation, but I want to ask you, when you, as a cancer specialist, at what stage do you recommend your patient to see Dr. Melissa Burnside when you do a physical with them?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when patients are coming to see me as the specialist, it's usually for one particular problem. Mm-hmm. But as I mentioned before, it's impossible to ignore some of the other problems that might be going on. And one of them, and one of the more common ones, is hypertension or high blood pressure. Sometimes there might be diabetes. Sometimes there might be other medical conditions that are going on. Mm-hmm. So when I see a patient as a surgeon and as a specialist, usually what I'm trying to do is to see if you need surgery. And if you need surgery, then we want to make sure that you're in good shape for surgery. Mm-hmm. Because surgery is not a one-man show. It's not just between me and the patient. There's a whole team of people in the room. Mm-hmm. And if the patient is not in great health, then the surgery's not going to go well. And then I haven't done anyone any favors. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the times when I see somebody and they see on their history mm-hmm. that they have a history of high blood pressure, or if they take their blood pressure in my clinic, now sometimes their blood pressure is high because they're nervous to see me, and it's not because I'm so good looking. It's for other reasons. But sometimes when they come and see me, we take their reading and they have high blood pressure, I might suggest to them that they need to go see somebody like Dr. Burnside before they have surgery, before they get treatment, mm-hmm. because we want to make sure that once we start the treatment that everything goes well. Mm-hmm. And it's important to take care of the entire patient.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Burnside, we as Caribbean nationals, especially the Jamaicans, mm-hmm. we love spicy food. Mm-hmm. We love to prepare our foods mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. certain seasoning.
Yeah.
And in almost every seasoning there is salt.
Mm-hmm.
How can we really, and how should we really eliminate the consumption of salt?
Great question, because we love our foods, we love our jerk chicken, we love our oxtail, our stew peas, mm-hmm. and really it's a matter of varying what we're eating mm-hmm. and also looking into additional herbs and spices.
Right.
So sometimes, and I just want to take a minute to say, it's not just the salt,
right?
It's also the sodium content. Mm-hmm. And I want the audience to know that those go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're looking at the labels and things that we're buying and we're eating, we want to make sure that the numbers of the sodium. So the recommendation is about 2,500, but they usually recommend 1,500 a day when you're looking at those labels.
Yeah.
So when I'm ready to season my food, it means cutting down on how much salt that I would use, but increasing other herbs and spices. So using garlic, using more ginger, using parsley, using thyme, because those are other things that we can use to still make our food flavorful without these risks of increasing our blood pressure and putting us at risk for those strokes and heart attacks.
We are at that time of the year. It's the holiday time, and we love celebration. A lot of parties taking place, whether in the office, whether it's private parties. You have Christmas parties, you have Hanukkah parties, you have Kwanzaa parties, and then New Year is just around the corner. And there's one thing that people love to consume this time of the year: alcohol. The danger of consuming alcohol. Yeah. And the relationship with high blood pressure. How does that work?
That's an excellent question. So alcohol is something that should be enjoyed in moderation. Now, during the seasons, that may be a little bit harder, right? There's the wine, there's the eggnog, and everyone is in a festive spirit. A spirit, excuse me. Alcohol is one of those things that actually, with heavy use and chronic use, leads to conditions that make the heart hard to function. So that includes high blood pressure. It includes heart failure. And so the current recommendations are, and I know people are going to laugh at this, is about a 12-ounce beer, so about one can of beer in general for men, and a glass of wine for women. If you're going to do a shot, say you're going to do like a whiskey, it's about 1.5 ounces. So at the end of all these festivities and celebrations, most people are probably going to consume more than that. And for those short terms of time, that's different. But in terms of the impact of alcohol, it's excessive use chronically that leads to the high blood pressure that we see.
Now, if someone is on medication for high blood pressure, can they or should they consume alcohol at any time?
So people who are on medications for high blood pressure. So there's two things that I'm thinking of. One, is their blood pressure controlled? I have many patients who have an occasional glass of wine and beer, and they're taking their medications. And so that does not necessarily negate them having drinking responsibly. However, patients who have uncontrolled hypertension, the ones that go to Dr. Kovac's office for surgery and they're like 190 over 200, those are the patients I worry about and I counsel about the cutting down on their drinking and possibly hooking them up to services to help them. Because as my colleague here, Dr. Kovac, said, it really is a team approach and multimodal when we're trying to treat chronic conditions like hypertension.
You know, Dr. Kovac, I realized earlier on you said something about the black community and the Hispanic, that we don't want to raise the alarm as if it's only those communities that suffers from these chronic illnesses. But we have to be real here, and we're going to have to call a spade a spade. For some particular reason, though, in Jamaica, a lot of people tend to come down with high blood pressure. A lot of people tend to come down with diabetes. And I understand it's a lifestyle condition that can be controlled. But back in the days when your blood pressure would read 140 over 80, it would be considered normal. But then, over the last couple of years, the readings have changed. And more than likely, when most people go to the doctor today, or a lot of people who go to the doctor today, their readings is coming up on the high side. Now, what could it be? What could it be? Could it be just the mere fact that our communities are more financially challenged? Or is it a collaboration with our lifestyle and our habits?
Well, I can tell you from my own personal experience, sometimes when I go to the doctor, even though I'm a doctor myself, there's a well-known phenomenon called white coat hypertension.
Yes.
And I'm kind of a new school kind of doctor. I don't wear a white coat in the office. Some people are actually scared of the white coat. I like to dress in a shirt and pants, so you might not recognize me. But there is this thing called white coat hypertension, and that means that when people, just by the fact that they're coming to see the doctor and they see the quote-unquote white coat, they get nervous and their blood pressure goes up. So, again, I'm not the expert in this particular condition, but I know that if you go to the doctor and you're found to have high blood pressure that one time, mm-hmm. it may not necessarily mean that you have high blood pressure all the time. Mm-hmm. I go to the doctor once a year for my checkup, and when he takes it when I first come into the office, it's usually high because mm-hmm. I'm nervous about what he's going to tell mm-hmm. me. But then I say, well, you know, now that I've seen you and we've had a conversation, I feel much more relaxed. Can you take my blood pressure again? Mm-hmm. And then it's back down to normal. Mm-hmm. So we shouldn't panic when we go see the doctor if we found to have high blood pressure. Dr. Burnside can definitely comment further on that. Mm-hmm. But there are certain things in certain situations where our blood pressure might go up temporarily, mm-hmm. which may or may not be a sign of a chronic right. condition.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is that correct, Dr. Burnside? I don't want to make sure I'm...
That is correct.
Information.
No, that is correct. And echoing what you said, mm-hmm. the diagnosis of high blood pressure is not one reading. So when right. Dr. Kovac came in on his one annual visit and it was a little bit high, that mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily mean he has high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And you need to get at least two separate readings that should be a few weeks apart for the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. But also, he talked about the situation, right? Which leads me into stress. Right. People associating stress with high blood pressure. And that's actually really, really complex. And what I've noticed is that looking at the research, that really stress in and of itself does not cause high blood pressure, mm-hmm. And it could be motivating, like, okay, I need to, eat healthier. But what happens when you have these chronic stressors in certain communities in the Bronx that make it difficult to be healthy? So job security, mm-hmm. financial stressors. And so eating fast food is easier than preparing a healthy meal such as vegetables and baked fish. Mm-hmm. And the stress of having to care for your family long-term leads to these habits that are not necessarily the most healthy decisions that people make. Mm-hmm. So that is drinking excess alcohol, smoking, all of which contribute to high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is it's complicated.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When is the best time of the day? Morning, noon, or evening? When is the best time of the day to have your blood pressure check?
So, I have seen, from my understanding, one of the things that I encourage patients is that when they're going to take their blood pressure, mm-hmm. to take it around the same time in the morning and in the evening, mm-hmm. to give yourself these measurements and readings so you can take them to the doctor's office. Mm-hmm. Because I have found, in addition to the white coat hypertension that my colleague Dr. Kovac has said, that some of my patients have normal blood pressures at home. Mm-hmm. So they're doing it regularly, they have their own machine, and they'll come into the office and they'll say, but doctor, your machine now work. Because at home, their blood pressure is fine.
Right.
And so again, this taking your blood pressure at home is important,
right.
and taking it around the same time, morning and evening, to get accurate readings.
Mm-hmm. But evening coming to the doctor, because mm-hmm. I have a lot of the fellas that I work with, mm-hmm. and a lot of them, a lot of the operators that have a CDL driver's license, we all have to do a physical at mm-hmm. a certain time of the year to maintain our licenses. Now, a lot of the guys will tend to pop an aspirin the night before, and they will go book their appointment for the next morning to go and do their physical. And most of them will tell you that their blood pressure will come up normal. But then later on in the day, if you check their blood pressure, it's at a higher reading. And now, what is the relationship between taking an aspirin at night, go to sleep, and getting up in the morning? That has anything to do with your blood pressure?
So aspirin in itself is a protective factor in terms of preventing stroke and heart attack, some of the complications of blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But really, in terms of them, the blood pressure readings that they're getting and they're saying it's fine, we have found, separate from aspirin, that patients who take blood pressure medications at nighttime, this is mm-hmm. some new evidence that is out,
mm-hmm.
tend to have decreased risk of death, decreased mortality, and they may go to the doctor's office and it may not necessarily be reflected, but they're getting better control of their blood pressure.
So, and I saw that news recently mm-hmm. in terms of what's the best time to take mm-hmm. your high blood pressure medication, and it's saying that it's at night before you go to sleep. Mm-hmm. That's the best time to take your medication. Before we take the station break, this past week, two things that came out. One, working overtime and high blood pressure. Now, they're saying, and this was only in the news 2 days ago, it is said that working too much overtime can actually give you high blood pressure. And then the next thing is a pepper. There's a certain kind of pepper that they say if you consume a lot of that pepper, it actually can, it lessens your risk of getting a stroke. Overtime, working too much hours in general, that's unhealthy anyway, right?
That sounds unhealthy. The body always needs time to recuperate. So in terms of working overtime and high blood pressure, that sounds, again, like this is a complex factors coming into play. I think myself and Dr. Kovac as doctors probably work many hours a week, and within our, in terms of our own personal health, are probably, and I do not have a diagnosis of hypertension.
Yet.
So we will see what will happen.
But maybe your environment, it probably depending on the environment, how your environment around you is. The pepper I'm talking about is chili pepper. They say that if you consume a certain amount of chili pepper on a daily or weekly basis, it also can reduce your chances of getting a stroke. Now, a patient with high blood pressure, at what level they're at stroke risk?
So it's important to know that you can have a stroke at any blood pressure reading. What happens is that when you get into ranges that are going into the 180s and the 110s, where you go into what we know as hypertensive emergency, your risk of a stroke is higher. But again, regardless of if your number is 150 or 180, the risk of the stroke is still there. And some, I have patients who come in with one reading of, you know, 180 over 150, and they have no symptoms. And I have other patients who come in and they have symptoms, and I'm worried about a stroke, but it was a lower blood pressure reading. But higher readings chronically are associated with a higher risk of getting a stroke and heart attack.
When we come back after the top of the hour, we want to talk about children, the risk of children, and how, you know, how young these children are being now diagnosed with high blood pressure. We want to talk about stress when we come back. And then we will wrap up again, and we will cover the kind of foods that we are supposed to consume, what better foods, if there's any foods that can really help us along the way, and even in terms of our lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, our very special guest this morning, both guests are from Montefiore. They are the expert. We have a cancer expert, my co-host this morning, in Dr. Evan Kovac. And guys, if you have any issue with prostate cancer, here's a doctor I'm going to recommend. When you go anywhere in Montefiore, tell them you want to find Dr. Kovac. So if you're on Eastchester and he's up at Gunhill, tell them to send you up to Gunhill to see Dr. Kovac. And then we have a hypertension specialist, a born Jamaican, Melissa Burnside, out of our first capital, Spanish Town, Jamaica, as we dream of brighter days for these holiday season. Busy Signal will take us up to the top of the hour. Voice of the Signal.
These are the things I see right in front of me.
As I open my eyes, oh, I give thanks a life. Oh, oh, oh.
As the days go by, yeah. Out comes the sun, shining on my face again. Grades get me high, high so I can meditate. Them kids
love the tune.
Dreams of brighter days, highest grades we blaze, Dreams of brighter days,
And as we give thanks this holiday season, ladies and gentlemen,
be careful and be mindful of how much alcohol you do consume. I know we as a people, we love to party, we love to celebrate, but it's now time that we're going to have to start paying more attention to how we live, to how and what we feed our body. It is the same way you want to feed your body with healthy products and products that will make sure that your body can sustain and you can live a very, very long life. The same way you take care of your car and you take care of your wardrobe and you put on your fancy clothes, make sure you put some fancy food and some fancy herbs in your body. My name is Rascal. And again, this is Groovin' Radio. Stay with us.
Keep standing. Now give up the fight. The sun will shine tomorrow.